Technology, and we've been spending some time talking to Candace Shulu. Candace, is that right? Shulu?
No, it's like Shulu.
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 Like a sneeze.
Shulu. There you go.
And Candace is the founder and editor of Whosoever. It's an online magazine for gay, lesbians, bisexual, and transgender Christians. So we've been spending some time talking to her. I'm sorry.
At whosoever.org.
Whosoever.org is the actual address for the website. It's www.whosoever.org.
Candace, do you have a lot of requests to talk to people about reparative therapy or your ex-gay ministries?
No.
Good.
People don't come to me for that, mm-hmm. thankfully. My position is pretty, it's fairly clear on the uselessness of ex-gay, mm-hmm. of ex-gay ministries. And I've met people, I mean, I guess I must sort of back up and caveat myself. I have met people who sincerely say that they were once gay and now they have gone straight, to use a vernacular. And I guess I can't diss their stories, so to speak. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I'm not going to call them liars. But I think we discussed it before. I believe in the Kinsey scale. I fully believe that sexuality is fluid and that there are people who fall within some sort of range. And those people who, for whatever reason, whether they don't like the social stigma or they're trying to come to some sort of personal acceptance or familial or religious acceptance of themselves and feel that they need to suppress their sexual orientation toward same sex, I feel that the people who say that they have been successful are probably somewhere on the Kinsey scale near the bisexuality range.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask that question, if those people are really more bisexual than either gay or lesbian.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, and like I say, you know, I've met people who have told me very genuine stories, you know, about how they felt that they were exclusively gay and now they feel like they have some sort of heterosexual leanings. You know, I guess I say more power to them, but what I would want to really explore with people like that is why exactly they feel the need to do that. I mm-hmm. mean, is it some sort of acceptance of, you know, lots of people are afraid to lose their family. Lots of people are afraid to lose their faith or their friends or their jobs, you know, because they believe that the social stigma is so strong that these things will automatically happen once they come out of the closet. And who knows, they might.
Yeah, sure.
And I guess the other question for would be, too, is that, you know, maybe they weren't really gay or lesbian, you know, because there was a period of time when this was like a fad to a lot of people, mm-hmm. and they kind of got caught up in it.
Sure.
And it wasn't necessarily the same as being born and feeling that this was truly your sexual orientation as much as it was something that you could easily pick up. You know, we could use the example of Alan, Anne Heche, you know, what was going on with her, and mm-hmm. you know, really, and
I think that's a whole nother
I was gonna
issue.
Say, still today, I'm still trying to figure out what's going on with her. But I mean, you know,
I think she's a class by herself.
Absolutely. But you know, but I know what Troy's getting at. Like sometimes there could be, or people pinpoint a negative experience, say in their childhood. Mm-hmm. And regardless of what that is, they go and seek the same sex.
Well, Donnie McClurkin did it.
Yeah.
I mean, and then once he was able to, in his words, to come out of it, then he denounced this whole movement and the whole thing about being gay, which I think was, to me, a little out of line, because you know, you can't make an arbitrary statement the way he made it and say that it applies universally to everybody.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm.
I mean, because everybody's story, everybody's walk is different.
Sure.
Well, and I think that's one of the points about ex-gay ministries that sort of irks me, is like, well, that's fine if that's something that you felt led, that you really felt strongly that you needed to do. That's wonderful, but don't then come to me and go, well, you got to do it too. Well, mm-hmm. No, I don't.
Yes.
It's, you know, just because it worked for you doesn't mean it works for me.
And I think we also have to take people back to the fact that ultimately God is the only person who can make the decision about where we ultimately end up. It's not Jerry Falwell. It's not, you know, any of these other ministers in the pulpits. It's not lay Christians. It's not anybody else who wants to stand in judgment of our lives and profess that they know us.
Right.
And that they can tell us where we're going to go.
Well, and Jesus says quite clearly, and I believe it's in Matthew, where he talks to the Pharisees, and he's saying, you know, if you close the gate of heaven on anyone, then you won't be going in either.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I mean, just if you really sit and think and read the words of Jesus, that to me is an amazing thing to sit and contemplate. If there's just one person that I've turned away from God, I'm not going to get there either.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I mean, blood is on your hands.
Yeah, Jesus is very clear. You close the gate, you're not going in either. The gate is closed to you. So to me, that speaks volumes for flinging wide the gates. Everybody, come on to God. God deals with you individually.
Right.
Whatever anybody else says about your faith walk, don't listen to them because they don't know it. It's between you and God. It's not between anybody else.
You know, and I guess the other thing that they emphasize here, that is love is universal, unilateral. It's all across. You know, you have some religious sects who say that they have the ultimate God love in their particular religious society, and that everybody else's view and input determination or whatever you want to call it is all wrong. And I always thought that was just so bizarre. How does any one man, any one body of people decide that they got the ultimate hold on God's love?
Well, the Bible tells us that God's ways are unknowable, that any way we think of God is only a conception. No one can say, oh, well, God says this, and God believes that, because you can't speak for God. God only speaks for God, and God only speaks to your heart.
And then I guess if you take it back and, just use what the Bible says, that, you know, we all started from Adam and Eve, then if we all started from the same origin, then we're all brothers and sisters, so therefore we're all of the same family. And so, you just take that on and on and on, and then so how do you denounce one of your brothers or sisters?
It seems to come naturally.
Yeah.
From fundamentalists.
How do you not love?
Well, you know, I had some folks on these message boards online tell me, it's a tough love. You know, that love isn't this warm and cuddly thing.
Well, you know, if God dealt with people with tough love, there'd be a whole lot of people with different circumstances in their life right now.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a forgiving and a loving God, and I think we need to remember that if we're in positions to dispense his word to people who are sitting and listening to us. We got to be about love. We got to be an emulation of what his love is all about.
Right.
Oh, exactly.
Please call us with questions for Candace at 866-801-TALK, 866-801-8255. Candace of whosoever, Candace Shulu.
Or email us.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Or email us at thepower@xmradio.com.
So, Candace, what have you been doing since we talked to you last? What's new with you?
Oh, let's see. I've still been trying to raise money for whosoever because I'd love to be doing that full time.
Right.
I'm also preparing for ordination. I'm about to become the Reverend Candace.
Excellent. Wow. Congratulations.
Yeah. Through an independent church in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also studying to be a spiritual director through the Episcopal Church in Atlanta, through the Episcopal Diocese there. And you know, that's it. We've moved recently, and I'm still trying to clean the house.
So, when you become Reverend Candace, is this going to be brick and mortar, or is it going to still be online?
It'll still be online. I'm living in a fairly rural section of South Carolina at the moment, and
okay.
I would love to try to find enough people around here to, build some sort of progressively Christian organization in this area. You know, there's a metropolitan community church in Columbia, and there are, I mean, I know there are gay people in my area. I run into them every
sure.
day.
They're everywhere. We're everywhere.
We're everywhere, tell me. And, so I would love to do some brick and mortar sort of stuff here in this area, but, it's just getting the word out because I'm where the rednecks roam free.
Yeah,
so.
You be careful down there because, one step at a time.
Exactly. Got to take it slow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, check all around you. Candace's website is www.whosoever.org. Check her out. Send Candace, are you 501? Or?
Yes, it is a 501c3 nonprofit, and all donations to us are tax deductible.
And on your website, I'm sure there's an address for mailing donations?
There's a button you can click on the homepage that sends you to GuideStar, which is an organization that I believe is done through AOL Time Warner that collects donations for 501c3s for nonprofits.
Okay.
And we get 100% of that.
Great.
If you click on that little button on the homepage, and it'll anything you give, we get it all.
So if you've been listening this morning, you want to sow seeds into her mission, check her at our website. It's www.whosoever.org, and click the button and donate. share some of your love with Candace, and so that her mission and her work can continue on. Candace, is there anything else you would like to tell the listeners about what's going on in your mission with whosoever.org?
Boy, it just, it's an amazing thing. Some of the letters I get and some of the people that I talk to, there was a lady who lives in another rural area here in the South who wrote to me recently, and she's, you know, you talk about, you know, coming out as gay or whatever, and, you know, she's in a marriage, and she's known she's gay, but, you know, she did the right thing and married the man, and now she's got kids, and now she's, you know, trying to be true to herself, and the husband doesn't understand, and, you know, I mean, I just get these heartbreaking letters all the time of these people who are finally being honest with themselves, and unfortunately, you know, it hurts a lot of other people, and if we could just be honest with ourselves up front, if we could just learn that this is how God made us, and this is good, and God doesn't make us bad or wrong, you know, that to love someone else is not a sin, and to feel those feelings for someone else is not sinful, and that, you know, I guess it is possible to sin as a homosexual, sure,
of course.
Know, we can you know, live lives of licentiousness and promiscuity, but, you know, when you're using your sexuality rightly, you know, within a loving, committed, monogamous relationship, you know, there's no sin in that whatsoever.
Candace, thanks for being with us this morning. This is Angie and Troy on the other side. Candace of Whosoever, check it out, whosoever.org.